Today's reading from the fifth Sunday of Easter is from John chapter 13. And this is a passage from the Last Supper. And it makes an interesting point. It says, "When Judas had left them, Jesus said, 'Now is the Son of Man glorified.'" Notice Judas didn't stay for the last part of the Last Supper. Judas left early. And that's why we have those humorous and yet true signs about the importance of staying until the end of Mass, because the signs at the back door say that Judas was the only one who left the Last Supper early. And we call that the Judas shuffle, you know, for those who leave Mass before the final blessing. So we don't want to be in his category, right? We want to stay till the end to receive the final blessing. So it says in today's scripture, once Judas had left them, remember Judas went to go out to betray the Lord, Jesus said something very interesting. "Now is the Son of Man glorified." See, what was the Lord referring to? Well, Judas was going to go betray him. Jesus was going to be arrested. He was going to be scourged, crowned with thorns, crucified. And then he was going to rise from the dead. In other words, he was going to suffer, to die, and to rise. That is how he was glorified. "Now is the Son of Man glorified." Had you ever thought about that? That your sufferings can glorify God. If you offer them up, if you give them to the Lord, you can offer up every day your prayers, works, joys, and sufferings. That's what Father Jack is doing. And as you know, I'm going to give a little update on him, but as you know, he is in critical condition. He's been on a respirator now for a ventilator for the last 5 or 6 days. He's in intensive care. But Father Jack has always offered up his sufferings to the Lord. See, our sufferings can glorify Almighty God when we unite them to Christ on the cross. So Jesus said this, "The Son of Man is now about to be glorified." Yes, but it would take place through his passion, his death, and his resurrection. And we always go through the passion, the sufferings, before we experience the joy of the resurrection. And then Jesus said some of his final words. He says, I will be with you only a little while longer." The Lord knew he was going to die. He was going to leave his disciples. And so now he says, "I give you a new commandment." See, when somebody's about to die and they say their final words, you really take those to heart. You listen to those words because it's some of their last words they'll ever speak in this world. And Jesus said, "I give you a new commandment." And Jesus' new commandment for the disciples and for each one of us is love one another. Now, these words burned themselves into the heart of St. John the Evangelist. And as an old man, they say in Patmos and in Ephesus, they would wheel John out in something like a wheelchair. And he would say, when he was about 90 years old, 100 years old, he would keep repeating those words, "Little children, love one another." That was the wisdom of St. John the Evangelist. As an elderly man, that's what he could say to summarize what it means to really live the life of Christ and the message of Christ. Love one another. So Jesus says, "I give you a new commandment." Now, the word that Jesus uses here for love one another, in Greek it is agape, which is much more than friendship or brotherly love. Agape is this total, sacrificial, self-giving, self-donating, unselfish love. Love to the end. A divine kind of love. A love that's willing to lay down one's life for another person. And obviously, Jesus is saying that this is not a suggestion. He says it's a commandment. Now, if love were merely a feeling or an emotion, Jesus could not command us to have it. Jesus could not say, "I command you to be happy or to be sad or to be hungry or to feel a certain way." But since love is much more than a feeling, since it's an act of the will, since it's a decision that we make, then Jesus can command us. If love were merely a feeling, he could not command us to have this feeling. The good news in all of the Bible, it doesn't say you have to like everyone, right? It doesn't say, I command you to like one another. See, it never says that in the Bible. It says, love one another. So love is much more than a feeling or emotion. He could not command us to have a feeling, but he can command us to have an act of the will, to make a decision to love. Spouses, to love, like the wedding I did yesterday, for better, for worse. The couple repeated after me, I so and so take you as so and so, to love you and honor you in good times and in bad, in sickness or in health, for richer or for poorer, for better, for worse, until death do us part. See, that is the kind of love that Jesus wants us to have for one another. In good times and in bad, in sickness or in health, to love one another, Jesus says, as I have loved you. Well, how did Christ love us? Well, first he washed the disciples' feet. He was willing to serve his disciples. He loved us by dying on the cross. When you look up at the crucifix, you see that is true love. Total, unconditional, unselfish love. Jesus says, love one another. Not just in a natural way, but as I have loved you. That's an incredible statement that Jesus makes, and it could only be done if we have God's grace, if we have the power of God, the grace of God, to be willing to love one another as Jesus has loved us. See, Jesus laid down his life for us. We think of how much he loves us. He gives us himself in the Eucharist. See, love is self-giving. Love is self-donating. So Jesus showed us. He said, love one another as I have loved you. He washed the disciples' feet. He died for us. He gave his life for us. And he even gives us himself in the Holy Eucharist. So he says, as I have loved you, so you also should love one another. And we have great examples of this in the lives of the saints. Think of the great Saint Maximilian Kolbe, who gave his life for a prisoner of war, that a man he did not even know. It wasn't a family member, it wasn't a friend, it was a total stranger. But he lived this commandment of Christ to love one another as I have loved you. We think of our own parish saints, Tom Vanderwoody. Tom, all and most of you knew Tom. Gave his life. He laid down his life for another. He laid down his life. So he lived out this passage. I give you a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. Jesus died for us. He took our place on the cross. Maximilian Kolbe, Tom Vanderwoody, they laid down their life for another. That is how they lived out this gospel passage. Love is, according to Saint John Vianney, to do what good we can, when we can, for others. And one of the best definitions of love is to desire the highest and greatest good for the sake of the beloved. So if you truly love somebody, you desire their highest and best good. You want them to get to heaven. You want them to be saved, to have happiness for all eternity. Mother Teresa said, true love is giving until it hurts. When we give of our time, our talent, our treasure, we should always give a little more until it hurts a little bit. If it doesn't hurt a little bit when we give, we're not loving enough. We're not loving the way the Lord wants us to. Mother Teresa, that perfect example, she gave until it hurt. And John Vianney also said, to love someone is to bear, to excuse, and to hide their faults. And not to speak negatively about others, but to bear, to excuse, and to hide the faults of others. So this is the new commandment. See, in the Old Testament, the mentality was, well, love your countrymen, but hate your enemies. Jesus says, "No, I give you a new commandment. Love everyone, even love your enemies. Do good to them, pray for them." So he says, "Love one another as I have loved you." Now, of course, of our own natural ability, it'd be impossible to love one another in this total, sacrificial, unselfish way. I mean, imagine to love like Christ. But Jesus said, "This is how others will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another." Jesus didn't say, "Oh, people will know you're my disciples because you have great theology or great faith or you know all about religion." He didn't say, "That's not how people will tell if you're a Christian." He said, "This is how people will tell if you're a Christian, if you have love for one another." So that is the prayer that we should ask the Lord today in today's Mass. When we receive the Lord in the Eucharist, that's where we receive our strength and our power to love like Christ, is in the Eucharist. That's where Maximilian Kolbe got his grace to lay down his life for another. That's where Tom Vanderwoody received his grace from daily Mass, daily communion, Eucharistic holy hours, Eucharistic adoration. See, that's where we get our grace to love one another in a Christ-like way, is from Jesus himself in the Eucharist.